Luke 9, chapter 22.
Verse 20.
Shut up, Pete. Enjoy Santa. Everybody knew what I meant. Luke 9, verse 22. How's that?
Oh, better.
What was better?
Oh, better.
We're studying the word rejected. Remember, it means to be tested as to genuineness and rejected forcibly or disallowed if it doesn't meet the test. And it's used the same kind of thing if somebody said something was gold and it was really fool's gold, it would be thrown away. So the point that we spent all day on yesterday was all men have rejected him. Let's see if we can look at some more. Let's go to Luke 17. Starting 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now, the reason this is so important is because it's to stop people from going somewhere to find the anointing. The anointing is equally present because the anointing is him. It is equally present everywhere. There is no special place. It's all dependent on repentance. Then it's seen, or he is seen. Does everybody understand that? Okay.
Can you sense it?
Huh?
Can you sense it? Is there any sensory perception of anointing?
Well, I can only describe what happens to me, and that's, it has nothing to do with crowds or other preachers or anything. It has to do with repentance. It happens every time that I've accepted my death, whether I was electrocuted or held hostage or whatever happened. When I accepted my death, then there was that certainty.
Yeah, that's
accepting your death.
Well, and then what, as far as the question, it's like, then there's a knowledge or a revelation. Or
yeah, it's beyond anything sensory. It's beyond, because this is why the news is so incredible, and that's why the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer was a prayer that was given to the disciples by God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. If you think it's on earth, then you'll run around trying to find it. If you know it's in earth, then it's there. It's in you at all times.
So this anointing is totally tied to that kingdom of heaven.
Well, it can't be separated. It's totally tied to the kingdom is where he is. The anointing is him. Remember the Holy Spirit when he was come, when he will convict the world. Everybody thinks the Holy Spirit's going to come and there's the anointing. The Holy Spirit's job has nothing to do with what we see on television. The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I've gone to the Father, and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. So it's that's everything. It's no longer what you do or don't do. That's not the issue. The issue is you believe not on him. If you believe not on him, then you'll do all kinds of crap. You'll do all kinds of flesh stuff. But you can't believe on him over here and then go over here and not believe on him. That's a spot that the garment is spotted by the flesh. Everybody understand that? It has to be all or nothing.
Yeah, there's your death. Without that, there's nothing.
All right. So then in verse 20, blah, 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 we said 24, as the lightning and light, as the lightning that lightened out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And that's what's happening. Everybody, you know, a lot of these televangelists and other prosperity gospel preachers, they talk about the latter day revival. And that's, they say, that's what's going on, because all these people are coming to their... There's no such thing as a latter-day revival. There's a latter-day apostasy. And this generation... What generation? There's only two from God's standpoint. The generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. Which one are you in? Amen? All right, let's go to Luke 20. And this is a repeat. This in the New Testament, this prophecy of Isaiah is repeated over and over and over and over. And it's both on Psalms and it's in Isaiah. It says in verse 17, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the stone of the corner. And that word rejected is this thing, that he has been put to the test for the purpose of approving, and was found to be not acceptable. This generation must reject him. And every one of you have rejected him. Every one of us have rejected him. And the rejection, the punishment for that rejection is our death. The question is, do you accept that?
Well, you reject it because you don't accept your death in the first place.
No. You reject him because, as flesh, you reject him because he doesn't meet the standard that you believe the Messiah is. Everybody, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're rejecting him. Unless you accept that point as your death. Or you will reject him shortly because you put him to the test and he won't meet the test, so you adopt another gospel.
Yeah, you're recreating.
All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2.
Working.
Well, here's this is where it's kind of there on a daily basis. If I have an investment in the outcome of anything, then I, in effect, have rejected him. And this is what's so hard and so difficult to understand. Because we, in our zeal, and so many times, we truly believe that if we are doing something as unto the Father, that what then will happen is you'll get what that, you'll accomplish that. That's not the meaning.
Well, you get some kind of reward.
No. The reward is him.
That's an incredible deception, isn't it?
Yeah, and it happens daily. And it's what happens is, again, what we do is, if your works are leading you, then by definition you've made yourself an enemy of the Holy Spirit. Can you understand that? I hope you do. It covers every aspect of life.
That's the answer to Gary's earlier question about, can you sense the Holy Spirit? Can you sense the anointing? You have the investment in the outcome. What you're sensing is not it.
Well, all of us have gone through this. We can watch Ronnie go through it. He goes through it because he's the Antichrist. Because ever since I've known him, if he's not, if the thing that he wants to happen doesn't happen, then he gets all out of shape. But so does everybody else. It's just more apparent in Ronnie. He's sort of taken over the Harry job.
Oh, man. He's a grand
type. Why,
Lord? Ronnie, you're making me feel sorry for you. He's going to get a big head here now.
No, but it happens. You can watch it happen. You see somebody get nervous, somebody upset about something that they're doing, and it's because they have an investment in the outcome. And that's why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Do you understand? And you can say, well, it's impossible to live without having your works lead you. Ever since the day that I first started talking about this, the common response has been something of this order, and you've heard me talk about this forever, is that, well, if I believed what you're saying only, I'd just go sit or stay in bed or sit in a corner or whatever, a million other variations of it. And my response is always, then you have a form of godliness, but deny his efficacy, his power. I remember certain people used to say, well, Ole, this is easy for you because you don't have a family. No, it's the same thing. All right. 1 Peter chapter...
No one escapes.
What?
No one escapes. You know, I've heard you say that for years. About, lying in bed. The real answer is lie in bed and do nothing. And that's okay. It's only not okay if you've got
outcome you expect to be different than lying in bed and doing nothing.
Well, I mean, it's just a metaphor for the idea of works leading you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point is that you want to accomplish something, and lying in bed is not it. So there's something wrong with God if that's what you were going to do.
All right, 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envying and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Disallowed indeed of men. Well, it's talking not just about Christ, it's talking about you. It's talking about his followers. Disallowed indeed of men. And the word disallowed is just another form of the word rejected. And it's more than rejected, we'll see in a minute. All right, let's look at other places. There's another word that's also sometimes translated as rejected. It's exothenio. And it means to reject it, but it has a more subtle meaning. It was set at naught, considered of no account, contemptible, and despised. And so let's go to Acts 4, chapter 4. And it's interesting because sometimes different authors of the New Testament have used those two different words when they're quoting the Psalms or Isaiah. So let's go Acts 4. This is Peter before the high priest, starting in verse 5. Peter and John were imprisoned. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And done what? Healed the lame man. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you and all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, here, the stone which the builders rejected, it is the way it was translated in this other scriptures we just read. Here, they used a different word, this exothenio, and it says the stone which was set at naught, or considered of no account. But you understand, they both are quoting the Old Testament, both Luke and Peter, I mean and Paul, but they use the two different words for rejected. One is the first one, and the one is the second one. Now let's look and see where else this second one is used. Let's go to Luke 18.
I'm not sure what you're trying to do here.
There's a word in the Old Testament in Hebrew, and it's a quote that's gone over and over and over in the New Testament. The stone which the builders rejected has become the corner, head of the corner. Okay? The word rejected by Luke was translated, was the Greek word he used was apodokimazo. That's the word that they translated the Hebrew word rejected. Paul, Paul was the editor of Acts, or Luke's editor. He used a different word. And he said this other word, exotheno, which is the same thing, considered of no account, fit for the dunghill. So I'm saying that there are two different words that are translated into Greek from the same Hebrew word.
But essentially it's the same thing.
Yeah, one is this thing about it was put to the test for the purpose of approving and then not approved and discarded. The other word in its normal sense means to consider it of no account or despise. So they're essentially the same. They're just two subtleties of meaning. Luke 18. The whole idea of this, the reason we're spending so much time in this rejected, is that all men, this generation, has to reject him. All men have to reject him. All men have to kill the Passover. No, we see that our punishment for that was death.
But you still, have to see that that's what you are.
Right, you can't, otherwise you'll never be able to say you're the chief of sinners.
Right.
You'll run around and give your testimony. I used to be bad, now I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I used to be bad, now I'm worse. Don't get me started on that.
That's the whole point. If you think you're good, that's
all right. Chapter. What?
I have some times at work.
You're a sick puppy. Chapter 18. This is a parable of Pharisee and the publican that we've talked about so many times. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And that said it not, consider of nothing, despised, rejected. They rejected others. This is what people do when you run around and say, well, is he redeemed? Or what they're doing now, what's becoming popular now, believe it or not, in some of the major churches in America, they're saying that the feeding of the poor means only feeding poor Christians, like the guy that you've heard me talk, the Katrina guy that was going to give us 7 apartments to be used for the Katrina victims, but then he said, but I want you to have them sign a statement that which church they were and that they were Christians, that they were born again. I couldn't even talk, I was so mad. But that's becoming part and parcel of the last day heresy. The New Testament churches, 40% of their whatever budget they had was given to meet the needs of the poor in their city. Without regard to whether or not they were believers or not. Can you see how we've gotten everything upside down? The stone which the builder, well here, it says it. Which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. You remember the publican? Remember what a publican is?
Tax collector.
Tax collector. But a Jew that was a tax collector for the Romans. Despised. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now this is why this word is rejected, because we, the human race, especially now, it doesn't matter whether you, it doesn't matter, the Mormons do it. The Catholics do it. They consider their meaning of the Muslims do it. Their concern for the poor is always the poor of their religion. Now all of them don't do it, but that's the essence of, and now the same thing has happened in the Christian churches. All right. Or in other Christian churches, I should have said.
Is this televangelists or regular churches?
Huh?
Regular churches?
Regular churches.
Baptist churches, like?
Some Baptists, some of all denominations. It's a disease that's infected them. It gives them an excuse not to meet the needs of the poor. And people do it in homeless, you know, it's a lot of people, a lot of Christian homeless places. You have to sing for your supper. Oh, Luke 23.
They had this one Catholic church down in town. They
This is Jesus before Pilate. Verse 8. Then he went now to Herod. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You remember when we studied that? Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Now, the word set at naught means considered him contemptible. Now, Jesus said it clearly. He said, if I am treated this way, so will my disciples be. We kind of miss that. All right. Oh, that's a good place to stop. Anybody have any response to any of this? Oh yeah, there's only one story.
Going on. But if you don't really see it and agree with it, then nothing happens.
If you don't live it. He that judges another falleth from the strong city. Take a big guy.